Us and Them is sponsored by the Charleston Gazette-Mail, the largest newspaper in the state of West Virginia, featuring two editorial pages expressing both progressive and conservative views. Find it online at wvgazettemail.com.
Thank you for calling the Pennsylvania Turnpike. If you know your party's extension, you may enter it now, or you may choose from the following selections. Press 1 if you have a roadway emergency or need assistance. Wait while I transfer your call.
Emergency operations.
Hi there. I'm one of the people who is stranded on the turnpike. And I guess my question to you would be, what other parts throughout the Pennsylvania Turnpike are people stranded?
Between Bedford and Somerset, sir.
And is that the only place?
The turnpike's closed between those two exits.
So I've been here since 9 o'clock last night. I've been told that the National Guard is coming, but they haven't been by yet. How long is the stretch of traffic?
They have been deployed. We're getting to everyone as quickly as we can, and they're trying to get the road open, but you know the storm's just too much right now.
I've gone out and I've interviewed people. I've seen people with small children. There's been nobody to come by to check to see if anybody is okay.
As I said, we are getting to people as quickly as we humanly possibly can.
But I beg to differ with you because I've been here since 9 o'clock last night.
Sir, do you want to talk to a manager?
I would just like to talk to somebody who could explain why there's not been somebody.
Hold on a second.
This is Us and Them, the podcast where we tell stories about America's cultural divides. I'm Trey Kay. Today, I want to tell a story about how Americans are separated by barriers. Jersey barriers, that is. If you don't know what those are, it'll be clear later. And just so you know, the predicament I'm going to describe might cause people to use some colorful language, so heads up. So, on Friday, January 22nd, I was in New York City, and I needed to head to West Virginia and wanted to be there by Monday. So, for days, we'd been hearing about a looming snowstorm called Jonas.
There's a blizzard warning in place tonight that stretches from Washington, D.C. to New York. Tens of millions of people are in the path of a storm that could bring as much as...
I was finishing up some work and packing and listening to New York Mayor Bill de Blasio warning New Yorkers about the blizzard and telling people to stay off the roads.
Remember, every New Yorker can help out, as always. When the storm hits... It is crucial for people to stay off the streets to the maximum extent possible.
The storm hadn't landed yet, so I wanted to hit the road and make it to West Virginia before getting buried in the city. Looking at weather maps, I was trying to stay north of the storm. I wanted to get to a place to wait it out and then head down to Charleston after the roads were clear. Even meteorologists in Pennsylvania seem to suggest that I'd make it.
And most of the day is fine for Friday. Everybody gets home from school just fine, even from work. But as we head into the southwesternmost areas around 5, 6 o'clock...
I'd gotten to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at about 5 p.m., and there hadn't been a snowflake in sight. I'd talked to my mom in Charleston, and she said the snow was really coming down. She said the news was saying that Interstate 79 was a mess, trucks skidding all over the place, and that I shouldn't even think about coming down. I was considering where to get a hotel, and then I thought about visiting my stepbrother in Pittsburgh. I called, and he said that they had hardly any snow, and that the forecast said that they weren't going to be affected by the storm. So I set my GPS, and it said that I'd be to his place in about 3 hours. Say around 8:30. Before getting on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I got a full tank of gas and a few snacks. My stepbrother told me that we were going to have a huge spaghetti dinner when I got there, so while I gassed up, I didn't buy too many snacks because I didn't want to fill up. After a few minutes on the turnpike, the snow started coming down, lightly at first, but shortly thereafter, it started coming down harder, and before long, the roads were getting a little sloppy. And traffic started moving slower and slower, and my GPS kept telling me that I'd be getting to Pittsburgh a little later, and then a little later, and then a little later.
So I'm sitting here in my car as we started to make our way up this hill. All of the traffic just slowed down, and actually it was stopped, and there's no way to move off. There's no exit ramps or anything like that. And I called ahead to the Pennsylvania Turnpike hotline, and they basically said that commercial tractor trailer vehicles were making their way up the hill, and they couldn't get traction, and some of them jackknifed, and basically have caused this huge traffic jam.
I'm sailing away.
My radio was tuned to a classic rock station, and after listening to a series of tunes by Styx, REO Speedwagon, Journey, and AC/DC, I began to reflect on how these songs from the late 1970s were a crappy period in music history. So, to amuse myself, I started sharing to my Facebook friends my Stranded on the Pennsylvania Turnpike story, and that this classic rock station was going to drive me insane. This amused me for a while. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, we hadn't moved an inch. I called the Pennsylvania Turnpike people again. They apologized and told me they were moving as quickly as possible. They told me to just be calm and try to be relaxed. Lucky for me, I have a minivan with all the seats taken out of the back, and so I crawled in back and burrowed into my sleeping bag and buried myself under coats and comforters. I popped in my earbuds and caught up on the latest episode of the podcast Serial.
He's gathering intel, planning escapes, focused on getting away, and then the rest of it. And the rest of it is 4 more years. When his purpose is less sharp, his hope is blurrier, there's less action. Now he's got to endure.
As I listen to Serial's Sarah Koenig talk about Bo Bergdahl being imprisoned by the Taliban, I wanted to do what I could to keep my purpose sharp, my hope unblurry. I had to do what I could to endure. I kept the engine running so that the heater would stay on, but I couldn't help thinking about nightmare stories of people asphyxiating in their cars when the tailpipe is covered by snow. So I got up every couple of hours to check to see if the tailpipe was clear. It was, but the snow was really piling up. I got as much shut-eye as I could, and I woke up at about 8 a.m. and saw that all the cars were in the same place as they were the night before. The only difference was that now there was a foot of snow on the ground.
So I'm snowed in on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it's about 9:16 a.m. on Saturday, and I've been here since about 9 p.m. last night.
There was a young woman from one of the cars behind me, passing out small bottles of water. She said that her mother had told her that we were going to be there for a while, but that the National Guard was coming to bring food. This was a relief because I'd eaten all my snacks, and all that I had was a tub of organic salad greens, 2 bell peppers, and half of a cucumber. Hours passed. No National Guard.
So there is a guy kind of coming by with it's like a bit of a Polaris or a snowmobile or something like that, trying to help.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Do you got water or anything like that?
Yeah, we do.
What's happening? Are you guys National Guard or
what? No, we're just some rednecks on a four-wheeler helping people out.
Okay. What? Because there's been nobody.
I know. We came down through here last night. I don't know if we made it down this far last night. We come from the bottom up and then come up down.
Right.
But we didn't make it. I don't think we made it down this far last night.
How far does it go back up?
Probably like 4 or 5 miles.
Probably at least that or better.
Yeah.
Until you get to the tunnel anyway.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think? I mean, I know you don't want to make us despair here, but
it'll be a while.
Several hours yet.
I mean, I'm thinking Monday.
I hope not, man. I don't want to do this all weekend, buddy. I'm going to wear this thing out doing this.
Okay. Help more people. Thanks,
man. Fire.
The snow was really coming down as these rednecks on four-wheelers trudged on to help as many people as they could. So I'm thinking that maybe I just might want to kind of get out and see how people are doing. Okay. I'm just walking up the way. I have to like take big, huge steps because the snow is coming up above my boots. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Have you heard any news on what's going on?
I haven't. All I know is that there's a bunch of trucks that couldn't get up the hill, and they got to pull all them off first before they can clear the roadway for us.
I've called and gotten the same information. Do you have any idea how long you think that might be?
My wife said, be prepared to stay here till Sunday.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Pretty shitty. I got enough gas, but I'm trying to conserve it, you know, and I'm in such a deep rut of snow here that even if they get things moving, I'm stuck anyway.
Yeah.
So I got no shovel.
How did you get stuck in the rut?
I was in this lane, and when the traffic started going last night briefly, around 9 o'clock, I spun my wheels and it just kind of slid over.
I mean, when we got stopped, I mean, the road was just barely covered.
I know, you could see the blacktop. That's what was the frustrating part.
Yeah. I've heard that the National Guard's coming to bring food and stuff like that. Have you heard that?
I read that online, but...
I think they'd be here by now.
Yeah. I haven't even seen a cop in 12 hours. Not even going this way to ask if everybody's all right.
Yeah. Thanks, Cliff.
You bet.
While I was visiting people, my friends were loading messages onto my voicemail.
Hey, Trey. I heard you were caught in the blizzard. Just checking in. Give me a call. Talk to you later.
Hey man, where are you? You still in the parking lot? Or have you got to move? Or what's happening? Give me a call. I'll talk to you. Bye.
Hey, just checking in. I'm a radio interviewer. I was just checking to see how you're doing.
We're hanging in there.
How long have you been here?
9 o'clock last night.
Yes, it's 9 o'clock last night.
So you got plenty of provisions. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Where are you driving to?
Seven Springs. And I'm supposed to go to the Penguins game today, too.
I guess that's out.
That's definitely out.
What have you heard? Do you know how long you think we'll
don't
be
know
here?
Anything. We called the number and they said National Guard was on their way, but that's all we know.
Yeah, that's what they told me, too. How's your little one doing?
He's hanging in there.
All right, well, what's your name?
Todd.
And where are you from again?
Effort of PA. Okay.
Thanks for talking to me.
Sure.
Hey, man, we're not doing very good at connecting. We were out to a birthday party for Etta's grandson, and so missed your call. So anyway, we'll connect sooner or later. Hope you're well. Bye-bye.
That's your CB radio?
Yeah.
They say that these big commercial things that they got had trouble on top of the hill or something like that.
Truck's jackknife, yeah. I understand that. What are you going to do? Too much snow.
Have you ever had something like this happen before?
What, get stuck?
Like this?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Just start truck up, let it warm up, shut it off, and save fuel. Because I'm on empty.
Are you?
Yeah.
They say the National Guard should be coming by here. Has anybody contacted you and told you anything like that?
Nah.
What are they saying on the CB radio?
National Guard's supposed to be coming. Turnpike's shutting down. Making everybody get off at Somerset and probably going down 31, which is really going to be nasty with the big hills.
Just based on your experience of driving, how long do you think we're going to be here?
Well, the way it looks, long time.
Well, how long's long? I mean, Monday?
We've been here 12 hours already, 13 hours. By the time it get this cleared up, we'll probably be here another 8, if we're lucky.
All right, Rich, well, thank you very much. Let me let you get back to being warm. Save your fuel.
Yeah, I started up, leave around about 10 minutes and shut it off for an hour or two. That's all you can do.
All right, man.
Take care. Stay alive.
Yeah. Take care.
Hey, man, just heard about you on TV. They named off all the celebrities that were among the 500 cars stranded on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and said the podcast genius Trey Kay, who was probably preparing a podcast about his experience on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So I hope you're having a great time, and let us know when you start moving. I'll talk to you. Bye.
Have to keep blowing the snow off of my windscreen baffle. Yeah, the snow is pretty high, and as NPR keeps saying, looks like that the worst is yet to come. I don't see how we're going to get out of here for hours. I wouldn't be surprised if we're here until Monday. The person who I interviewed earlier, they had a little kid in the car. I just noticed outside of the window, they have like a little grocery store bag, which seems to be filled with a dirty diaper.
The thing that was most frustrating to me is that we were stuck on the westbound lane. On the eastbound lane, the traffic was moving along freely. What was dividing east and west, the free and the trapped, or us and them, was a long Jersey divider wall. Now, the plan was, as I was told after many calls to the Turnpike Command Center, was to clear the traffic, each jackknifed 18-wheeler, from miles ahead of me and miles behind me. And from what I could see, it was going to take them hours to get to where I was sitting. And the question that I kept asking the Turnpike folks, why don't you close the eastbound traffic and bring in equipment to move these Jersey barriers and let these cars out? Oh, we can't do that. You just don't understand how difficult that would be.
My prediction right now, and I'm trying not to be pessimistic, but my prediction is that I'll be here until Sunday, maybe Monday.
No.
This is my Us and Them co-producer, Mitch Handley, who called to see if I was okay.
I have about a half a tank of gas. I'm serious. I mean, the snow's just getting deeper. They have like all these, you know, semi-tractor trailers ahead of me that have to move. And then how are you going to move cars that are, you know, in a foot of snow?
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, are you hungry?
Not yet. Not yet. I ate some lettuce earlier today just to, you know, kind of get something in the system. But,
And if you could have, like, you know, one thing right now, besides the time of day, what would it be? A cup of coffee? Or?
I think what I'd like more than that is like a really tasty bowl of soup or something like that. That would be great.
I'm making oatmeal right now.
Oh, man. And I'd love some oatmeal. Oatmeal's my thing. So.
Most of the day was spent trying to run the car engine as little as possible, listening to podcasts, trying to sleep, and not to think about food or going to the bathroom. I placed many calls to the Turnpike Command Office and kept getting what I call crowd control speak. What I wanted was information like what's going on, what's being done, how long will it take, What should I expect so that I can prepare myself? But most of what I got were generalities like just stay calm, we're doing the very best we can, and the National Guard is on their way.
Right now, we only have one major problem, and that is between Bedford and Somerset on the turnpike, and we are doing our best to address that situation.
At some point in the day, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf gave a press conference.
I know we have over 500 vehicles trapped in chutes out there, and we are deploying Pennsylvania State Police, the National Guard, PennDOT, and the Turnpike personnel to try to make sure that our folks in those vehicles are safe, that we rescue them, get them to shelters.
I didn't hear this conference when I was stuck on the Turnpike. If I'd been a loved one watching or listening at home, I probably would have been relieved that the state government was moving with all deliberate speed to help people trapped on the highways. The thing was that none of this assurance was being conveyed to those of us trapped on the Turnpike. For most of the day, we didn't see any of the government personnel that he spoke about. What we saw was traffic moving freely on the eastbound lane of the Turnpike.
We have now checked, we have now checked every vehicle at least once that is trapped out there. And to make sure that the people have food, to make sure that they have fuel to keep the engines running so that the heat stays on.
It was around sunset, or about hour 19 of being trapped on the Turnpike, when the National Guard finally came around with food. Apparently, they missed me on the first pass. I was in the back trying to stay calm and must have been sleeping, but it's hard to imagine that I would have slept through someone knocking on my window. I don't think I was sleeping that deeply. Anyway, the guardsman on his second sweep gave me an MRE packet, a meal ready to eat. So I opened this packet, and there was a way to add some water, and miraculously, I was eating a hot meal of chicken and noodles.
We are working to get shelters in place as quickly as possible so that those folks who need to have more food or toilet facilities. There are some buses out there that we need to get to them as quickly as possible. So aside from that,
I saw no shelters being set up and certainly no toilet facilities. And to answer the question that I was often asked on Facebook and Twitter, I held it. After getting some sustenance, I started to think a little more clearly. It seemed certain that we weren't going to get out for hours still. By this time, they had closed the eastbound traffic, and now state troopers were finally coming to see if they could help us out. I spoke with one of them and asked him why they just couldn't move the Jersey barrier and let the cars out. The trooper said that is what he thought should be done, but that he was too far down on the totem pole to make such a decision. After a while, I decided to climb over the Jersey wall and walk until I found a trooper who was higher up on the totem pole and plead my case for the removal of the Jersey barrier. I found a trooper, and he seemed exhausted. He yelled at me for not staying in my car and said that I'd put myself in danger by coming out and looking for him. And he said that he had been working nonstop for more than 24 hours and that he was extremely frustrated with the situation. At that moment, I was about to lose it on this guy. I was going to shout back at him and let him know that I was not just some idiot who'd foolishly gone on the highway in a snowstorm, that I was trying to avoid the storm, and had made some wrong calculations. And once that I was in trouble, along with 500 other vehicles, I didn't understand why it had taken so long to be helped. That local rednecks with ATVs had given more timely help than the National Guard or the state police. That I couldn't believe that this was the first time that the Pennsylvania authorities had dealt with a problem like this. In short, I was going to let him know all the things that I thought Pennsylvania had done wrong in this situation and that should be done better next time. I was loaded up like a cannon, ready to unload on this guy. But I didn't. At that point, something came over me. I got the idea that he really understood my frustration. And frankly, my desperation. Without him saying much at all, I could tell that he understood that I'd spent about 24 hours feeling like a them on the other side of the Jersey barrier. That I wanted to be heard and not just treated like a problem that needed to be managed. And when I saw that he got that, I was able to see him differently. And I understood his frustration, that he'd been working for hours and still had a very complicated job before him. And for the first time all day, I didn't feel like I was being placated with crowd control speak. For the first time all day, it seemed like I wasn't being ignored. For the first time all day, it seemed like I was on the same side with the authorities trying to help. This trooper was hearing my suggestion for how to remedy the situation, and he was going to do his best to make it happen. The officer drove me back to my car and promised he was going to try to have somebody come along and move the Jersey barrier. While I was out, I got another voicemail.
Nathan calling back from the operations center here at the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I have spoken to one of my safety units that are out there. They're going to be coming back up to your location. They're removing vehicles both east of you and west of you through barrier openings. But he's going to come back up there and give you an update of what's going on there at the scene. If you have any questions or problems, please just give us a call in here at Star 11. Thank you.
In a few hours, at about midnight, cranes and bulldozers were moving sections of the Jersey barriers near my car. After 27 and a half hours of being stranded on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I and my stranded buddies were motoring again. I was making my way to Pittsburgh. I had about a third of a tank of gas and lots of information to report to the Office of Lessons Learned. At the top of the list, maybe I shouldn't have been on the road at all, period. But for Governor Wolf and the Pennsylvania Turnpike Authority, I think that communicating better with the people in need and instilling confidence that help was on the way would have made things seem a lot less scary. Snowstorms don't happen every day, and I certainly didn't want to get stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And the state troopers, National Guard, people manning the hotline, and the four-wheeling rednecks passing out water would probably rather have been doing something else other than helping us out. But I'm really glad that they were there. What do you think? Do you have a story about being stranded and in dire need of the government to help you out? Or are you a government worker who feels that the public needs to take more personal responsibility? Let us know on Facebook or Twitter at Us Them Podcast or on our feedback page at usandthempodcast.com. Remember, there's no ampersand. You've been listening to a special episode of Us and Them. This show was produced by Mitch Hanley, Lori Stern, and me, Trey Kay. Michael Lipton and Tristan Lozow wrote and performed the Us and Them show music. Mark Lerner designed our logo. Rita Crisafi and Mariana Trofimova designed our website at usandthempodcast.com and provide us with images for the web. The wonderful people at West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation. The moral of the story? When there's a snowstorm, stay in a nice warm place and listen to Us and Them.